the hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
So this was kind of the big social media story in the news. Twitter said that it is based on the behavior of an account. So if an account looks particular...
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to Wednesday afternoon. Here we are in the Allstate Skyline Studio on the Wintrust Business Lunch for today. Terry Savage is in the studio. You heard Randy Schaefer's voice there as well. Frank Senna from Crain's Chicago Business will be along. The governor sat down for a visit with Crain's editorial board yesterday, and we'll talk to Frank about that, among other things. Oh, your electric bill looks like it is going down. ComEd, it's going to actually see a bit of a drop. That's one of the things we're reading in Crain's, and Frank will spell that out for us. But we start with Terry Savage, who has brought the entire Federal Reserve Board along with her. Terry.
That's right. They're all sitting in the back row waiting to see what I tell them to do about rates.
I had their albums when they were with Motown. It was Terry and the Fed. So they're meeting today, right? We're going to get an announcement coming up just after the show ends.
Yeah, and it's not going to be much of a surprise unless it's more than a quarter of a percent increase. I don't think there's any. I mean, the world is betting that the Fed will make its third rate increase of the year, a quarter of 1%. That's already priced into the markets. If I come running right back to the studio, if it's a half a percent, if they don't do it, they'll also be hinting at what they'll do again, and likely there'll be another quarter of a percent increase in December, all of which is priced into the markets.
So if we know what's going to happen, what are we watching for? I mean, will we get sort of hints on when they talk about it?
They will give you that hint about the future, and they will also talk about how they view the strength in the economy. But look at, let's just look at two things that are a component of their decisions. The stock market does influence them. We are at all-time highs.
Right.
Consumers, what are they thinking? Consumer confidence is
highest since 2000, I think it was.
Since absolutely highest in 18 years. And just to give you an idea where we are, I mean, I can remember we were down in the 80s. Now we're at 138.4. And we're very close to the all-time high in 2000 before the dot-com crash. 138.4 now, 144.7 back then. I mean, we have traversed a long way from the depths of despair of 2008, 2009. And so stock markets at highs, consumers who do a lot of the spending in the economy and who really add the momentum to the economy, very confident about current and future expectations. The only one, as you pointed out to me, and when I walked in, showing a little bit of concern about the future of business.
Corporate. So I talked to John Najarian about this yesterday because I wasn't aware of it, but apparently Jamie Dimon and I can't think of the other investor, the great investor, but suggested that companies Warren Buffett, right?
Yeah.
Stop giving guidance about where their earnings are going to be, and apparently there's been a drop. But anyway, they are still issuing some guidance, and CNBC's got a piece out today that says so far 98 companies have provided guidance for the future. 74% are providing negative, so things are going to be worse than they are, 24% positive. You just heard Orion talk in the business report about how Nike gave a sort of a negative outlook.
Yeah, let's just give a few definitions, guidance. Every quarter, public companies report their earnings per share, and all the analysts look at what they expected they would earn based on what they're checking out, their sales and so forth. And typically for the last 3 years or 4 years even, companies have beat the analysts' expectations. These are the professionals that grind all the numbers. And analysts of the companies have been beating the analysts' expectations. At the same time, the companies give sort of forward guidance because they really don't want the analysts to be overestimating too much, and then people are hugely disappointed if they miss. So typically, the guidance has been positive. In the last month or so, as these earnings have come out, that guidance has been negative. Hey, guys, you might want to tone down your estimates. That's not quite the growth we're seeing.
I think I have an example. It's not what we're talking about exactly, but something the president did after the second quarter GDP came out, and it was, almost, was it over?
He's not supposed to be giving guidance.
I understand that, but what, it was over four? What was it?
Yeah, yes.
And anyway, but most analysts said, well, look, it was a boost because of the fear for tariffs, and it's not really sustainable. And the president went out of his way to say, oh, no, we're going to do this again. We can easily repeat
that. That doesn't count as analyst guidance.
I mean,
analysts
just saying, let me finish though. Let me finish. That's an example of a CEO saying, you know, giving guidance.
Yeah,
in the
but
future.
That's I'm going to disagree with you. I mean, we can't even talk about that. But the fact is that analysts are employed by Wall Street to look at sales figures, weekly sales reports, sales trends, to go out and check in the stores if the Nikes are moving off the shelves and stuff like that. So
sure,
they make reasonably good expectations, and the street looks and investors look at them. And when companies fail to meet those expectations, there's a disappointment. The stocks drop, and that leads me to something I really want to say, because eventually I'm going to be right about this, and I'd like to say...
I'm sorry, we're out of time. Go ahead. I'm kidding.
Gong show. Look, this bothers me a lot. I have a friend visiting from out of town, doesn't know Chicago's weather. When she left my apartment with me at noon yesterday, I said, oh, take your raincoat. No, it's gorgeous out. I said, it's going to rain this afternoon. I don't want to carry my raincoat around. I said, here, take this little umbrella and put it in your bag. And when she came home in the evening, she said, oh, I'm really glad I had that umbrella. You got to look ahead a little bit. We're now at the peak of earnings. We're at the peak of stock prices. We're at the peak of consumer enthusiasm. I'm a great bullish believer in America and future in the stock market. But look,
it's going to rain.
There's going to be a storm. And this is the perfect time to look at your 401k. Nobody's paying attention to the market. We're coasting at all-time highs. Please take a look and say, if the market dropped 25 or 30%, and I'm in the S&P 500 index fund for all my stocks, would I be able to, am I going to keep working another 10 or 15 years to catch up? Am I going to keep contributing, or am I hoping to retire in 3 or 4 years? Not only are you, if you're in the S&P index fund, but take a look at your target date retirement funds, which are the default option in many 401k plans. And they may have you at age 59 or 62 in 50 or 60 or 70% of that target date fund could still be invested in the stock market. You need to have some chicken money on the side. Interest rates are creeping up. Treasury bills are paying more for outside your retirement plan. Please reassess your exposure to the stock market if you are getting close to retirement.
You know, you should follow Terry more closely at terrysavage.com because, well, there's just never enough wisdom from Terry.
And you could post questions, which I answer.
And so we have talked. And, you know, it's obviously everyone knows that the student loan debt is out of control. I had a wonderful dinner discussion on Saturday. I was at a wedding, and I was able to sit next to a former president at Marquette, and we were talking about this and my theories and how most of them are incorrect. But, you know, about the, how the cost keeps going up and up and up. But the fact is, even though you can decry the cost and the debt, if you want to go to college, you still have to pay. And this is a time to sort of take steps to with
exactly
FAFSA.
Okay. You have pointed the finger at me because you know that I am on this, have been for years on this campaign. Talk to your kids early, tell them you can't afford it, they should live at home and go to community college for 2 years. And I just recently posted a Q&A on my website about a gal who graduated with $155,000 in federal loans.
Really?
And not just federal student loans and private loans, and paying $1,800 a month. Look, you have to file the FAFSA form, free application for federal student aid, in order at many schools not only to get federal student aid, which, by the way, the first year federal student aid, freshman year, you can only get a max of $5,500, and $6,500 the next year goes up $1,000 each year. So, I mean, you could, at the most, you could amass maybe $25,000 worth of loans, but beyond that, parents take out private loans, and those can be, as in the case of this girl. So I want you to avoid
and a lot
this
of private
of
schools.
Debt.
A lot of private schools give out money aside from that, and they use the at least not always need based, they use the information.
So here's the thing: in order to get started to get at least federal student aid and to access grants and work study programs at all the colleges you sign up to receive this form, you have to file the free application for federal student aid at FAFSA.ed.gov. It's really intrusive. It's not only your income, but it's your assets that are determine the amount of aid.
Now, did they change the name? Because I thought it used to be FAFSA.
Come on. It's FAF, Free Application for Federal Student Aid. And this year, there's an app that you can download called My Student Aid App.
So parents who have kids just now going into college or in their second year.
Every year you have to file it that you apply for aid.
Right, redo it. But,
wait, this is the most important headline. It used to be January 1st that you would file this, trying to wait to the year-end income figures. Now, for the last 3 years, they have opened up the FAFSA to start October 1st. The tool at the FAFSA.ed.gov or on My Student Aid app automatically brings in your tax returns you filed in April from 2017, a year ago. So if things have changed, there's a place to indicate that. So you need to do it now because a lot of the scholarship and grants that the schools give out based on FAFSA, not the federal student aid, is out, given out first come, first serve. So my message is, don't procrastinate.
Well,
Start next week.
The point I was trying to make was just that, that parents 4 and 5 years ago, this used to be much, much harder to do. It used to take much more effort. They've made it easier and easier. It's still an ordeal.
It is, but now, for instance, think about in divorced families, not all the spouse's assets, in depending on the custodial arrangements, have to be disclosed and so forth, so that you can have different passwords to access the form so your kids don't see your income. This is a project. But look, you need to start by filing to get the federal student aid
and, some of this,
and to get grants.
And some of this grant money is first come, first serve.
And it's
last
free.
Last year, only a third of the people filed in the early period between October and December.
People don't know yet, and the college guidance counselors haven't been pushing it, that October 1st is the starting date to fill out the form. And first come, first serve on many grants. And by the way, state schools and universities often have earlier deadlines for giving out financial aid. So put your state school first. If you're applying to Harvard, Yale, and the University of Illinois, put the University of Illinois on top.
That's Terry Savage. Read more at terrysavage.com. Good to see you. We'll do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks very much, Kim. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, here on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand in on this Wednesday afternoon, starting to feel like fall. On the phone line is Frank Sennett from Crane's Chicago Business, who joins us from time to time to talk about what's what over at Crane's. So welcome back to the Biz Lunch, Frank.
Thank you, Steve.
Are you worried yet?
Half game lead.
Yeah, very worried. I'm going to go. A buddy of mine invited me on Saturday, so I will hopefully see them clinch the division. No, let's get it done before Saturday, I think. The magic number is 5, I think, right?
Yeah, it's a nail biter right now, and the Brewers are just tough right now with Yelich. So
I was up in Milwaukee over the weekend, and I know it's wrong to say, but I'm kind of happy for them, too. So, but we'll be okay. We'll get this done.
Better them than the Cardinals. I think we can all agree on that.
Exactly, right. I'm interested in, looks like Bruce Rauner was before the editorial board yesterday at Crane's. And a couple of things that came out of it for me, I was reading the article by Greg Hines at ChicagoBusiness.com. One was he positioned himself, and which he can, I think, legitimately, as the middle. And he said, I got to hold the middle, even though he's a pretty conservative governor. He said, I've been attacked from the right. I've certainly been attacked from the left, and I've got to try to fight to hold the middle.
Yeah, so his closing argument that he made to the Crane's editorial board and to our readers via that is that he is the centrist in the political sphere in Illinois right now. And he talked about some of the things that, he touts as his accomplishments, including shifting Medicaid patients to managed care, creation of 210,000 net new jobs, passage of bipartisan criminal justice reform, and implementation of a new school aid formula that does include a bailout of CPS, but he said it's still worth it overall. So, he definitely is a guy who's had a knock on him because of the budget impasse, largely not being able to get anything done. And, that's a fairly decent list of accomplishments. So I thought that was interesting.
But it is true that he's saying, re-elect me so that I can do what I told you I would do for you 4 years ago. I mean, he is still repeating the common phrases from 4 years ago, too.
Absolutely. I mean, there are this huge intractable problems that haven't gotten really any better, and there doesn't seem to be much room for compromise between the Democrats and the legislature and Rauner. He doesn't seem like he's willing to give an inch either at this point. So he does call his second term if he gets it his last term. So he's 4 more years and done if he gets reelected, he says. And he wants to do legislative term limits. So, the whole laundry list of things that haven't been done in the last 4 years.
Well, that pledge was the other thing I took out of it, that he said, look, give me one more term and I won't come back for a third, which is, I did that in high school too. Please go out with me one more time and I won't bother you anymore. I mean, there was a little bit of that because it looks right now like the voters aren't willing to give him a second term.
But yeah, it does look like, maybe a bit of a foregone conclusion, but you know, the appearance before the editorial board, he was relaxed. He was making some jokes. You know, it feels more like he is, taking this last run at it fairly gracefully.
Yeah, well, you know, and genuine, I think. Reading Hines' article anyway, check it out, because it does seem that he brought a degree of, that he was a sort of a genuine give and take on the issues there. Tell me also
about... Yeah, and talked about making some mistakes and, you know, all that stuff.
Right. So there's that. The other story was I talked earlier about the fact that you guys were writing that ComEd is... Well, I don't know if it's ComEd giving us a break. This isn't necessarily what they have to... I don't know if they have control over it, but our electric bills will be dropping a little bit?
Yeah, so there's a long-standing lawsuit about... who would pay for basically infrastructure improvements on, you know, utility lines that would be benefiting other regions outside of our coverage area. That litigation, the Commerce Commission first brought against federal regulators 13 years ago. So this is a settlement of a 13-year-old lawsuit. It funnels $318 million back to Northern Illinois on May 31st. And so as a result of that windfall, getting back that money that our ratepayers, you know, here spent to kind of build electric, you know, lines in New York or, you know, wherever.
Right, right.
ComEd is going to decrease the billings for all of us from about $30 to $50 between now and the end of May.
The 30
so,
to 50.
You know, nice, and it was supposed to go up significantly.
But the 30 to 50 is for a total between now and May, right? So it's a few dollars a month. Yeah. I mean, which, you know, hey, it's money in our pocket, but it's not huge. The other thing that struck me about this was the fact that, so that's if you buy your power through ComEd, correct? If you have contracted with one of these other companies that call me every night and knock on my door and send me things in the mail, if you are with them, it's not necessarily a guarantee your rate's going to go down.
No. In fact, Constellation, which is the largest supplier in Illinois, and a unit of Exelon, which is also the parent of ComEd, said that customers under contract with them would see no change in their prices until those deals renew. So they're not going to get the instant windfall. And there have been studies that have shown fairly consistently that folks that use these other providers outside of ComEd do end up paying on average more than if they would just stick with ComEd.
Right. So that's what I wanted to refer to. This piece by Steve Daniels says that it looks like even though you might be getting a deal from the others, and they're going to have to change the way they market things now because they're not necessarily cheaper than what you could get at ComEd. Follow that. And, well, let's do one more. Grubhub is going back to school.
Yeah, I think this is great. You know, Grubhub is looking to expand, and when you're talking about food delivery, you know, in the evening time, what better pool of people than college students, right?
Because they've been studying so hard.
They are buying a San Francisco-based startup called Tap and Go that's used on more than 150 college campuses, and they're paying $150 million for better access to very hungry undergrads and grad students.
Now, Grubhub had been fighting on campus before that, right? So is this sort of an addition by just getting rid of one of their competitors?
I think so. Back in 2011, they acquired another campus-focused food delivery app called Dot Menu, the owner of Campus Food. So, I think they're consolidating. They want you to just think of Grubhub when you're in the dorm and you're feeling a bit peckish at 3 in the morning.
And who doesn't feel peckish at 3 in the morning in the dorm? Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGA.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Have you ever heard of the company called Tapingo? Well, this week they're $150 million richer, as Chicago-based Grubhub just bought the food ordering and delivery service for college campuses. It's a Tel Aviv-based app that's gained popularity among campuses, and it even integrates its service into some students' meal plans, which means the universities are on board with it as well. And I think it's safe to say, when you've got the backing of the masses, chances are you've got something good on your hands. So take that idea idea and make a buck off of it with equity crowdfunding. That's what the next 1871 Auditorium event is about on Thursday, September 27th. The ins and outs of gaining capital from accredited versus non-accredited investors is important. So join the panel to learn the basics. Convex Legal, Chicago Blockchain Project, and True Crowd are all there at the 1871 Auditorium on Thursday night at 5:30 p.m. So go to 1871.com and RSVP to the event today. It's kind of like those old PSAs we all remember. The more you know, knowledge is power. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. All right, it is 12:51 on this Wednesday afternoon. Randy Schaefer is in the studio. She is a digital news editor for the Chicago Tribune and has her eyes on social media for us. Randy, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, Steve.
Okay, so, you know, we talk a lot about the influence of social media and how it gets people to, well, do not smart things.
Kind of crazy things?
Yeah, like to have plastic surgery when you don't really need it, or to take dresses from a department store, try them on, take an Instagram photo, and then return them, all of that. I'm drawn but to this story from L.A. County, where the L.A. County Sheriff's Department says search and rescue teams conducted 681 missions last year, 2017, up 38% from 2013. So 38% increase in 4 years. And the Sheriff's Department, they say this is because people are taking Instagram photos of themselves.
Yeah, and not necessarily Instagram photos, but videos, just anything that can be posted on social media to get a like.
So they're doing things that are crazy, they're not prepared for them, and the L.A. County Sheriff has to go and rescue them.
Well, and not only that, but I thought this was interesting, was that, you know, they'll be jumping into these pools, and maybe like 10 years ago, these pools were 10 feet deep, and now they're 5 feet deep, water shortages, droughts.
Right.
So you literally don't know what you're jumping into.
So we should get Dick Wolf on the phone, right? There's a TV show, I would think, Instagram 911 or something like that.
I think that's a little before my time, but
okay.
I'll laugh at your joke anyway.
You're so generous that way. All right, so what's been drawing a lot of fire on ChicagoTribune.com when it comes to social media? I like this story about the Donald Trump balloon.
Yeah, so we had the story earlier this week about how a giant inflatable baby Trump balloon will be flown during a march to the polls.
I saw that one in... That's the one that we saw it in England first, right?
Yeah. And now it's here in the great old U.S. of A.
So there's a march in Chicago coming up next month?
Yeah, march to the polls. And
like the polls as in the Polish voters?
Not the Polish voters.
Oh, the polls.
The polls that
like
the voters
the poll in general,
vote
right?
In, yes.
Okay.
And so we're kind of taking a page out of the UK's book with the inflatable Trump balloon. And so people were kind of talking about this. And you said your favorite comment.
The favorite comment for me was on your Facebook responses. In 1,000 years, historians will look at this image and conclude that these people were worshiping their god.
Which I laughed at that, too, because I hadn't thought of it that way. But it is pretty funny to think about.
Right. There's a great story about this guy. So he saw the one in England and did a GoFundMe to buy the balloons.
Yeah. And, you know, there was kind of a bit of pushback. And some of our other commenters mentioned, you know, like $24,000, really, like, this is what you're going to spend that money on? There are way better things to spend $24,000 on.
Right, helping the poor, feeding the needy,
yes.
All of that. Do the organizers like the idea of this balloon there? I mean, it might sort of take away a little of their... Might throw some shade, pardon me, on their march.
Literal shade, some figurative shade.
I wrote that yesterday.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it turns out and to see what their response is.
You know, Dennis Rodkin's going to be here tomorrow. I love when Dennis comes by. He writes about real estate for cranes. And writes about celebrity houses and things like that. But Bob Goldsberg does that for the Tribune and had a story about Khalil Mack.
Got some new digs.
Yeah, gets traded. And then, things must be going okay because he was able to afford a nice, big, fat paycheck for a home in Glencoe.
Yeah, 7.5 bathrooms.
Nice. What do you do with the half bathroom? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Using on and off day of the week.
And so he bought the house, and how have people been reacting to that on social media?
Actually, a lot of people have been... So usually people will get really mad about the nice houses we post because, you know, our real estate section will always post the dream homes. But people have been really stoked for Khalil Mack.
So, right, they're all over it
because
they like him here.
Good for him. He earned it.
And then one other... Have you noticed that the mosquitoes have been bad this year?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I have mosquito bites on parts of my body that are usually covered in clothing. It's insane.
It has been incredible. The late moisture and warm temperatures brought the mosquitoes out. Nice that they're not necessarily the
West Nile
mosquitoes,
yes.
But I would imagine they're still creating a
buzz.
I wasn't going to do it on your social media pages.
They are, yeah. And so a lot of people had actually been messaging us saying, like, are the mosquitoes this bad or is it our imagination? It's not your imagination. They are terrible.
The mosquitoes are terrible right now, but they're not anywhere near what they were earlier in the year, even though
Even though it seems like it. And they're not carrying the West Nile, like you said, and they should be going away soon. It's getting cooler.
Seems like it's been kind of a down year for West Nile, so that's good.
Luckily, yes.
Randy Schaefer writes about, is a digital news editor at the Tribune. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Be careful for the mosquitoes. Don't get hit by a balloon and visit Khalil.
I think I'll pass on the last one. It's kind of sketchy.
All right. Well, no, you give it a shot.